Welcome to Dish Nation.
Yeah, baby.
What are we dishing today, Sherry?
Well, we've got the dish on President Joe Biden and his First Lady Jill Biden's love story.
And we're also going to reveal to you the secret code names of the first families.
And so much more. The Atlanta crew will join us later on. But Sherry, what you got first, mommy?
All right, Chewy. So roses might be red and violets might be blue. But when a man gives you his last piece of chicken, you know it's true.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. Forget the Birkin bags and the custom Bentley. Saweetie recently revealed in an interview that she knew Quavo only had eyes for her when he did this. This is what Saweetie said. The moment I realized that Quavo really loved me is when he saved me some of his food. He gave me his last piece of chicken.
Okay.
That's love.
This is true love right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Chewy, would you give your last piece of chicken or your favorite food to your lady?
Absolutely. I'll give her my last piece of everything. I would give my lady my last breath. That's my boo. Oh. That's my soulmate. That's my baby. So when
Chewy,
it comes to life, if I give you my last bite of taco or last bite of pizza, that's a big deal. And I'll give that to my baby.
I always give my lady the last sip of my beer.
Where that's a lie.
And it's warm and it's back. It's back warm.
You've never let a beer get warm in your whole life.
Oh, I know. I drink it too fast.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, since we are on the subject of love, our new President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden have a pretty incredible love story. If you don't know it, they've been married for 43 years, and the couple have Joe's brother, Frank, to thank for them even hooking up in the first place. So Joe's wife and baby daughter had died in a tragic accident. So 3 years later, Joe Biden, now president, was sort of ready to get back out there, get on the scene, and Frank slipped Joe Jill's number.
Uh-huh.
And Joe said, I'm going to give her a call, because Frank says, just give her a call. She's a great lady. So he does. And when Joe called, Jill was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm getting ready to go on a date with another man.
Wow.
And President Joe Biden said, well, why don't you cancel that date?
Wow.
She canceled that date. And fast forward to a couple of months later. Well, 5 months later, Joe asked Jill to marry him, but he had to ask her 5 times.
Wow.
Until she finally said yes, and now obviously the rest is history.
Frank, if you had to ask your current wife to marry you 5 times, would you have just lost interest and kept it moving, brother?
I'm pissed off I asked her one time.
Oh, by the way, you didn't even ask her.
He didn't ask her.
I remember that story.
That's the story.
They had a ring on my finger. I mean, what the hell?
You never even asked her to marry you.
The first time I met my wife, nobody handed me her number. I was in a bar in Denver, and it was like 9 a.m. Yeah. It's early because it's in the morning, and no one usually drinks that early. But, you know, I was in there by myself. She comes in. She goes, you want to play pool with me?
And I
said, hell yeah. I can sink some balls right now. I go, tell you what, you be stripes. I'm already solids.
Oh my gosh. And how many?
I'll break because you got a nice rack.
We're talking about giving last pieces of chicken. Frank gave her his
and she's had his in a vice grip ever since. There you go. Love it.
Now, since we're talking about the Bidens and not me, we might as well talk about first family code names.
Ooh, now, I love this.
For the past 75 years, it has been tradition that everyone in the first family gets a code name for the Secret Service. And the code names are usually symbolic of their personalities and are meaningful to the individual themselves. Okay. So Trump's past code name was, what do you think? Never mind. Don't even say it.
I think they bleep us out.
I got some ideas.
Yeah, we get bleeped out.
So Trump's past code name was Mogul.
That's not hard to figure out.
While Melania's was Muse.
The Muse.
Because of her model background, of course.
Okay.
Obama's was Eagle.
Eagle.
And Michelle was Renaissance.
Renaissance, right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Malia and Sasha went by Radiance and Rosebud.
Love it.
But our new president, Joe Biden's code name is Celtic because of his Irish background. All First Lady Jill goes by Capri. Because of her pants.
Like Capri Sun? Like the juice?
I thought Capri Sun, but okay. All right, because she's sunny.
It was a delicious. Okay,
you're a mom, Sherry. That's why you thought that.
All right, out of the presidents listed, who had the best code name?
Well, I think Donald Trump's is the worst. Isn't it?
Mogul?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a secret code name. If I know it's like Mogul coming through, I guess Trump's close. I mean, It's supposed to, like, when you have eagle, it's like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
But Heidi, I think the other things that were put in the black hat were so probably so offensive, they had to go with mogul.
Cheetos making his way to the podium.
Yeah.
Cheetos making his way to the podium.
Orange face.
Hey, Bangs. Bangs is coming through. Bangs. Hey,
what's everyone else's code name?
Mine would be Chipotle.
Chipotle coming through.
What would be my name, y'all?
Oh, no, Chewy, you just be Poppy.
All right, Poppy.
I like that. Okay. All right, a list of the most paused movie scenes in Hollywood has been released. Now, some movies on the list you might be surprised by, and some you might have expected to make the list, like the sexy classic Basic Instinct, starring Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that made the list, of course. And, of course, everybody remembers that one scene of the iconic leg crossing while she was being interrogated.
Oh, it's great because she's smoking a cigarette and she goes, what are you going to do? Arrest me for smoking?
Exactly.
Well, Frank and Chew, I'm going to have your attention on this one because another one on the list, and I know we're all going to agree, it's from 1982, and it is one of the most paused scenes
of all
time.
Revenge of the Nerds, we've got Bush.
That's a good one, too, but I'm talking even better than that. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Phoebe Cates getting out of the water in the pool.
Beautiful.
That red bikini, just...
The car's playing.
Slow motion. Phoebe Cates, of course, playing the character Linda Barrett.
Also on this list, The Wolf of Wall Street made the list when Margot Robbie placed her foot on Leonardo DiCaprio's head in the nursery. Apparently there's a lot of men that like that kind of stuff, like every guy.
Is that the kind of thing that you like, though, Chewy and Frank? Like a woman says, crawl towards me, because I want to use that.
Yes.
When I get to use it.
Yeah, I like.
Okay, so you like the crawl.
Yeah, I like being dominated.
Like
I like being tied up. I like being
told what
to do.
I've never crawled towards anybody.
Or what do I say?
Yeah,
what do you say? What's the conversation as you're crawling?
You just crawl. You make eye contact and you just crawl all the way in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Military style? Like on my forearms?
Are you talking planking action?
Yes, you set it up all in the room, you get in.
It's like a stealth military operation.
Oh, my God.
4 years filled with mud and water. You got to climb under. You got to hop over a log.
And then I step on a grenade and you're like, don't move your foot. What are we doing?
Heidi, you took it so in a different place than what I was thinking.
She really gets into role playing. Yeah. I'm an amputee now.
Gosh.
We didn't have sex.
Yeah, really.
All right, well, speaking of movie roles, during an interview with Jimmy Kimmel, Allison Janney revealed that she once had a co-star that had a pretty strange rule for kissing in a scene. Now, I think we've all experienced a little on-camera kissing a time or two.
Yes, we all have.
Allison Janney would not reveal. She didn't say who the actor was, but she said that he was such a germaphobe, that the guy that she had to kiss, that he would put Neosporin on his lips.
Wow.
That's the antibiotic ointment.
Oh, wow.
And he would make her put antibiotic ointment on her lips as well before they had a kissing scene.
If I was going to kiss Sherry, I'd put spermicidal jelly on my lips.
When I kissed Frank for the first time, my upper lip smelled like whiskey, bad decisions, and cigarettes.
Vagisil.
That sounds right.
Coming up. Uh-oh, looks like Shaq lost his bet with Kevin Hart. ATL will tell you all about it after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. Hey, Atlanta crew.
Hey,
what are we dishing about today?
Well, Sherry, it looks like Shaq owes Kevin Hart $1,000 and he better pay up. Okay, so Kevin Hart called Shaq out on his Instagram page for not holding up his part of a bet, for failing to make his son Kenzo smile. Take a look at how this played out, y'all.
Bet you $1,000 when I smile, he gonna smile. Better.
Kenzo.
Hey, hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, hi. My name is Uncle Shaq.
Say
hi. Oh, you gonna smile? Oh, I win. Yeah.
Are you scared?
No.
Are you scared
to smile?
You gonna cry? Some? Are you gagging?
Poor baby. Poor baby.
Oh my God. Scare him or what? What happened, y'all? Yeah. That's hysterical. I don't know. Shaq's face was too big in that dog on Instagram, and it scared Kenzo.
Okay.
Right?
So cute.
But why would he even bet this? Everybody knows that kids don't do what you want them to do when you ask them to do it on camera. Like, they do the opposite.
Kenzo looked like he was about to smile, and then Kevin looked like he signaled him to cry. So who do you think won the bet, y'all?
If Kevin Hart went through that great length to make his kid cry on command, then Kev won the bet.
Kev won the bet. If you can make your baby cry without pinching him, right. Yeah, Kevin won that bet.
We're moving on. Melanie Griffith is not just a hot mama. She's a cool one, too. Her daughter, actress Dakota Fanning, was recently on The Late Late Show with James Corden and shared something Melanie let her do at only 14 years old. Take a look.
But my mom took me to get my first tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. She also took me to get my belly button pierced when I was like 14, and she also got her belly button pierced. I don't know why I'm telling you.
No, that's all right. It's good to know. So you both got your belly buttons pierced.
Whoa. We moved different in Hollywood. Having old boys, yeah, they ain't getting nothing pierced till like way later. And yeah.
Right.
And still probably, no. Oh. I would show up if they was 22 and I would block them from getting anything pierced.
How old were y'all when you got your first piercing or tattoo?
I got this tramp stamp y'all talk about. This tramp stamp y'all always gagging at. Now, I got that when I was 18.
I got my ears pierced at like 17. I got my first tattoo at like 21.
My thing is, who you trying to show this damn piercing to? It's one thing to get it, then who you trying to show it to? See, that's what'll have me in. That's what'll have you in trouble. Mm-mm.
Portia, you know, your mama Diana, she is so cool. What, did she let you do something really cool when you were young?
No. She did.
Same.
Not a damn thing. No.
All right, y'all. One of everybody's favorite celebrity couples from the early 2000s was definitely Usher and Chili. Y'all remember them. They were so sexy cool. Chili's ex and baby daddy, producer Dallas Austin, was not happy about their relationship. And Dallas shared on the Fox Soul show, Established with Angela Yee, how he felt after finding out that the two were dating. Take a look.
Were you so mad when she started dating Usher? Were you jealous?
Obviously, I was friends with Usher, too. Well, I'm thinking this is the worst year because then she goes, she started dating Usher. And I'm going mad because I'm like, hold on, I got a kid. That's my girl. It's not the kid. It's that other. And so I went through this whole year of thinking that it was the worst year of my life.
Oh,
you still seem hurt about it.
Head crack, I was not aware. Now, Dallas said that him and Usher were friends. You think that Usher was plotting on Chili the entire time? Does that happen?
Now, Sherry, plotting is a very strong word. Now, standing under the basketball goal, waiting for the ball to drop so you can get the rebound, yes, that's completely different.
Okay.
I mean, it was Chili from TLC.
Nice way
There's
to
not too many people that she would walk in front of, and they wouldn't want to wait for their opportunity to try to holler, because to this day, she's still bad.
Let's just say he's still Chili. He ain't got no warm body nowhere, okay? He's hurt.
I'm sure he has a warm body or two or three or four.
Nice.
That's right. Heard behind Chili, honey.
Mm. Tea with Brad.
Oh. The Brad knows everything. Brad knows everything.
Find out how starring in the movie, honey, Batman and Robin changed George Clooney forever.
Ooh.
All that plus more, honey, so come right back.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, George Clooney is a big, big movie star, and apparently he thinks he owes it all to Batman and Robin.
Oh, wow.
Holy horrible really? Movies, yeah. Batman.
Wow.
Oh, my Holy God. Horrible films, Robin.
I know. A lot of people say that movie sucked, but he said doing Batman and Robin taught him to pay more attention to the scripts that he picks. Here's exactly what he said.
Makes sense.
Quote, after Batman and Robin came out, and it was a big bomb, you learn from your failures. You don't learn from successes. It became clear to me that you can make a bad film out of a good script, but you can't make a good film out of a bad script. So, Sherry, do you agree with what George said?
Yeah, if you got a bad script, it's just hard to make it great. If you have a good script and a horrible, horrible director and not good actors, it can be bad. But if you already start out with a bad script, you better run.
Ooh.
Woo-wee.
And damn.
I guess George Clooney
but
did not
But then why take
run.
It in the first place? If he's looking at the script and he's saying, ugh, it's a bad, why take the movie if you're like, this script is awful?
Money.
Maybe
that paycheck.
Yeah, maybe the
probably
money.
He got paid a lot of money to play Batman.
I think it's pretty cocky of him to say that he learned from Batman and Robin when there's so many other movies that he did that suck.
Men Who Stare at Goats.
There's also that one where they search for that treasure, Three Kings or something.
Oh, in the Middle East, yeah.
No. But Frank, they didn't do well financially, but they were critically received, which is kind of oxymoron, because if nobody's going to see them.
Audiences hated it. Critics loved it. Great.
Yeah.
Audiences are the ones who spend money. I liked him best on Facts of Life, so you can't really go to me.
I'm more of a TR guy.
So early in his career, actor Josh Hartnett was starring in a blockbusters such as Pearl Harbor and Sin City, but he started turning down the big movies and the big paychecks, and many people questioned position that move. He even turned down an offer to play Superman in a reported $100 million three-movie deal. Wow.
Damn.
And, you know, Josh Hartnett, he has three kids. He still works steadily. He explained it like this. He said, the guys who are on top are terrified that someone's coming up behind them. I never wanted that. I wanted to do good work with people I like and spend time with the people I care about. What do you guys think? Wow.
It makes sense. Like, he just wants to be a working actor. He doesn't want to be in a big franchise because then you always do have that. But you just, if you just steadily work as a just a working actor, you can go home with, to your kids, to your wife, and have a nice life. That makes sense to me.
But you know, $100 million be Superman too.
Hell yeah, I'm with Frank. I'm like, you do a big three-movie deal, $100 million, then you get to work on your the stuff that you care about, the passion projects.
Right.
Make the big money, and then work on the stuff
so
you
love. Then it tells me there's something deeper there. The
or maybe you don't want to get locked in as Superman, because like, oh, now you're Superman, now you're trying to play this other role. I can't always be Superman to me.
That's right.
You know, I've had to turn down stuff because I'm a single mom, and it would take me away from Jeffrey too long. And I remember there was there was one big one with Forest Whitaker, and they filmed it in England or London, England, same thing.
I've been in things in L.A. that were shot in L.A., and I'm like, make sure it's out of town because I want to get away from my kid.
Yeah.
You shoot it in London instead. I'll pay for the Vancouver shoot. Just get me the hell out of here.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Brooklyn Beckham is just like his dad, David, and got tatted again. So find out if his newest ink dedicated to his fiance is a tattoo or a tat-ee.
Ew. Hey, don't forget to hit us up on social media. We're on all these platforms at Dish Nation. We'll see you there.
Dish Nation. Okay, y'all, so it looks like Brooklyn Beckham is sticking his neck all the way out for his fiance, Nicola Peltz.
Hey.
Brooklyn recently tatted a love letter from Nicola on the back of his neck. And if that wasn't enough, honey, the love letter is placed under a tattoo of her eyes, along with her name and even her granny's name. So, is this a tattoo or a tattoo?
You know, I'm gonna have to give him a tattoo because it is a conversation starter. It's well done, and the tattoo has the ability to evolve. As he gets older and his neck wrinkles, it'll look like her eyes are squinting, which will let you know that time has passed.
I think it's a tattoo. It's a beautiful tattoo. It's a lovely tattoo.
If you think it's so lovely, Gary, then if you were to write a love letter to us, your Dish Nation loves, and put us on your body, what would the love letter say?
Oh, first of all, I would put the love letter portion between my gluteus maximus. So when you open it, it would be great to read. And I think it would say, honey, you know, to all my lovely colleagues at Dish Nation, you all are so beautiful, honey. Smell the roses.
My gosh.
I know you'd like to
thank
you.
So we don't have to kiss your ass because we ain't your ass. Wow. Okay.
Smell the roses.
Roses really smell like boo-boo, baby.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.